Hello, everyone. Daniel Gregory. Thanks again for tuning into this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This past week, I saw a headline in the news feed that I get that said something along the lines of iPhone 6 is a better video camera than a $3,000 SLR. Clickbait, yes. Clicked in to kind of see what it was. And it turns out that the article was all about how the footage that comes out of the new iPhone 6S was better than the footage that was coming out of a Nikon D750. In full disclosure, I don't own an iPhone 6S, nor do I own a Nikon D750. However, I would take an iPhone 6S as a phone, and I do shoot Nikon. But I don't own either one of those, so I haven't been able to do any kind of compare and contrast on my own. That being said, I think there is something interesting about the notion of that idea that, oh, this camera, this $1,000 phone, shoots video better than this $3,000, $2,500 SLR, and that that is somehow something that becomes meaningful to us, that somehow becomes important to us. And looking at the article, when I dug in a little bit, I didn't read super huge amounts of detail, but in digging in a little bit, under certain conditions, under certain lighting scenarios, they were able to produce footage out of the 4K environment of the iPhone that was better than the HD environment coming out of the Nikon. The iPhone was set up with professional cinematographers who did video all the time, using tripods, using sliders, using all the components you would use for traditional video for a high-end production on the iPhone. Now, not to take anything away from the iPhone, but it is an interesting idea that there's somehow something with the tool that allows us to create meaningful work, and that there is this notion that, oh, maybe you're overspending, or maybe this little device is a better device than that device. When really, at the end of the day, the right tool for the right job is not innovative. My dad used to yell at me about using a screwdriver for a chisel and for a hammer without going back to the garage. Getting the right tool has always been important. The other thing I think is interesting is there's this idea that based on that headline, what it's saying is, oh, if you have an iPhone 6S, you'll be able to create as good of work as you would with a Nikon or with a Canon or with a Panasonic. Pick whatever camera they're going to compare to. When the truth is, in a competent storyteller and with a competent photographer, a competent cinematographer, the tools are even less important. They'll be able to tell an amazing story. Now, will it have the same potential visual effect they want or the same look and feel they want? Not necessarily. But I can pretty much guarantee you, had I handed Stanley Kubrick an 8mm camera, a 16mm camera, an IMAX camera, Panavision, digital red camera, it wouldn't have mattered. Stanley Kubrick would have been able to tell an amazing cinematic story. And that's because he's not bound by this notion of that technology. With all that being said, what it really got me to thinking about was, why would I click on that headline? What was it about the headline that got me to click through? Why did I get, you know, drawn in by this clickbait of trying to figure out why iPhone is better than a multi-$1,000 DSLR? And what occurred to me was, that's a lot of the way we actually look and judge and view our photographs online, is we view them based on headlines or by very small comments. If you think about a comment in the comment field, that's similar to a headline. Most people write a comment that's somewhere between 3 and 7 words. That's a headline. And a lot of times those headlines aren't accurate. They don't reflect what's actually going on in the photograph. The headline, stunning work. You should be a professional. I like it. You rock. Oh my God. OMG with 6 exclamation points. Those were all comments I looked at and found on multiple photographs up on the 500pix site before I came online to do the podcast. I went up and looked at their best of the best for the day. Those were the kind of comments that sat in the comment field. And those headlines or comments really were not informative to what was actually really important within the photograph. So as I got to thinking about, well, how do I apply that? What do I take from that and use that in my own photography? As I think about how to title my own work, and I varied from very complex titles to Untitled Number 1 to Study of Trees Number 2, just a variety of different titling ways that really I need to think about, what do those titles mean and how could they be causing a reaction in the viewer of the photograph, similar to how I had with the camera study. Because how I title work before you see the work, if you see the title, I can completely alter your perception of how you might experience the photograph. I could be informative and giving you better clarity around the photograph. I could set you up to be in a adversarial position where I could say greatest landscape photograph ever. That title would have you be in the position of recalling all the landscape photos you've seen and then ranking the photograph you're about to see as whether or not it truly was the best against everything you've seen. So there's a problem there in the sense that I can really affect the photograph without really understanding it based solely on the title that I place on it. I think the other thing that can happen with titling is that it can be come across as the result of seeing so much cliche work and so much kind of corny photography that's out there where we've over-emotionalized, over-sensationalized what we think is good photography, and we hide it under these titles of most amazing wedding photograph ever, most stunning portrait of all time. And that work starts to get transmitted through our social media and gain traction. And so these photos get shared over and over again of a couple kissing under the full moon, and it's a beautiful photograph, but yet it's cliche, it's contrite, and it's something that we're going to see very similar a week from now, 2 weeks from now, shared over and over again, and it doesn't really create meaningful work. Even in the wedding industry, I would argue that those aren't the most meaningful photographs. Do they garner a lot of interest, click, and buzz for a short period of time? Absolutely. And maybe that's the goal of that image, is to create that. But to truly move the nature of photography as an art forward, to move you as an artist forward, we have to create things of substance. We have to create things that have long-lasting true meaning. We don't want to be caught up in a fast food industry where we're creating throwaway art that's not to be consumed long-term, that doesn't have a long-term impact on not just the society, but on ourselves as the artist. And so as you really sit down and start to think about your work, staying away from what are a mass of technical specs of why one thing's better than another or why one photograph's better than another, and staying away from cliches and corniness and some of those structures, and really trying to think about what would make the description of my photographs meaningful. What would be those headlines I'd put on my own work? When I think about Ansel Adams has got, you know, Moonrise over Hernandez, Winter Storm Clearing, they're very factual about the location or about the event that's within the picture. Edward Weston's Pepper, Pepper number 30. The title is descriptive of what pepper number it was that the photograph was taken. There's also lots of other examples of photographs where we're given our own decision to how to interpret the work through the understanding. There's not a adjective in there to attempt to elevate the work. The work gets to speak for itself. It gets to survive as being valued and important over time, not necessarily the cliche. So as you're really starting to look at the photographs that are out there, when you're posting to social media, when you're looking at those components, really think about how you would describe those in those 2 to 3 words. And don't put yourself in a position of creating headlines that are sensationalized to get us to click through, that are also not headlines that are about, or titles that are about, comparisons that really don't matter because they're hiding what is the ultimate component. Like I said in the beginning, it really doesn't matter if you're shooting a Panasonic, an iPhone, a Red camera, if the story you're telling is compelling. If you have a $50,000 Panavision camera, it doesn't matter if it's a horrible story. It's a horrible story. So iPhone doesn't really matter. Really focusing on that content and that story is what's important. As you're moving your own conversation forward, spend some time to really think about that titling component of your work and how you're describing the 1 to 7 words we use for a title, and really decide what's important to you there and what's of value to there. I think it'd be an interesting exercise. Also, you know, and paying attention to what you click on and why you click on it, I think would be also informative to you as why you're titling things. So I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, or you can always find us at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. And I hope you have a great week.